The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
And of course, it is that time of the week when we are joined by someone to put their reads on the bookshelf. And this week, we are joined by Andrea Mara, author, best-selling author. Not putting one of your own books on the bookshelf very, very respectfully, but we will talk about your own books maybe before we talk about your reads, because of course, Such a Nice Girl is out now in all good bookshops. Talk to us a little bit, Andrea, about how you got into writing in the first place, because it's you've been wildly successful.
Well, I worked in financial services for a long time, and then I was made redundant, and I had started blogging at the time about kind of juggling work and kids and home, and the blog was called Office Mum. So I was like devastated to be made redundant, but equally devastated that I had called my blog Office Mum and I suddenly had no office. I kept blogging anyway, and then that kind of morphed into writing freelance for newspapers and magazines, and then eventually into writing crime fiction.
Okay. And then obviously from there, you've ended up, you know, with on screen and adaptations and all that. Is that just the dream? Talk to myself and Shane about how that all unfolded.
Well, I still am pinching myself about that. So, like, I basically got an email about 2 years ago from my agent with links to a Hollywood Reporter announcement that my book, All Her Fault, that a TV adaptation had been greenlit by Peacock, who are NBC streamer in the US, and it was just going straight to a TV series, which, as I understand it now, often they'll make a pilot first and then they'll make a call on it. So there's all these pilots.
They were pretty bullish about it from the start.
Yeah. And the next thing we heard then was that Sarah Snook from Succession was going to star in it. So that was another pinch me, scream moment. And I've loved every second of it. Like, I still kind of can't believe it happened.
And is it weird seeing your baby on the screen, if you know what I mean, your book adapted? Is that kind of strange or is it just fantastic?
It's strange and fantastic. Like, I loved watching it because I had seen the scripts and I had seen the changes they had made, and I was kind of focusing in on those, going, yeah, I see why they made that. And they need to flesh it out to make 8 episodes. So they had added in a lot of extra bits in the middle. But it was only when I was watching it then with my husband and my kids that I realized how much of the book had stayed in the TV adaptation. So every now and then I'd be elbowing my husband going, look, that's a bit from the book. I wrote that bit. And I think he was eventually kind of saying, can we just watch it?
when you see that, you know, because obviously when you're writing from your own imagination. When you see it sort of made flesh on the screen, does it look like you imagined it to be, or is it quite different because of changes and things?
It's different, but it's a slow morphing, because I suppose when you imagine it, and a lot of authors would say this too, for example, with characters, we don't really picture clear faces. And I think that's because if you were to put a real face on your character that's in your head, they kind of become that person then. And you don't want that. You want them a little blurry. So by the time actors are on set in, I went to see filming in Melbourne, which is where it happened. By the time you're seeing that, you've already seen the announcements. You've started to picture those actors as the characters. Then you see the set. And then by the time you see it on your TV screen, you already know what it looks like. So it's not a sudden overnight shock of like, oh my God, the thing I wrote is completely different. It was slower than that.
Yeah. Okay.
So the most wonderful redundancy of all time,
the
basically.
Best thing ever.
Will we get to your favourite book? I'm not exactly shocked by your choice, but do you want to tell us what it is?
Yeah, I picked Stephen King's It. And I picked it because I remember reading it when I was 13 or 14. And it was such an immersive read for me at the time that I can still remember so clearly how I felt at the time. And like, I read, like every kid does, like all through the years, read Famous Five and every Enid Blyton book ever. And they were all very entertaining. But It by Stephen King is the first one that I remember being fully consumed by and thinking about it constantly, even when I wasn't reading it. It's so good. Yeah. Like, I felt like I was in the gang of kids. I was one of the group. They were my friends. And then I remember like cycling around my estate where I lived and looking at the drains in the footpath and thinking, is Pennywise the clown in there? And just fully not believing in it, but kind of believing in it.
Kind of wanting to buy into it too.
Yeah,
I remember that with The Dark Tower around the same age, also Stephen King, reading The Dark Tower, another one of his, and feeling kind of, he is an amazing author in terms of being able to transport you to another world, isn't he? And you do immerse your little imagination.
Was that a
big imagination into it?
Was it a scary read for a 13-year-old?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty scary, but I think you also, at that age, you gloss over parts of it too. And then, you know, you might be, I haven't actually reread it since, but watching the TV adaptation, I'm like, what was I doing reading that at 13? But then I got it for my daughter last year. She was 15 at the time, because I wanted to see, would she, did it stand the test of time? Would she be as consumed by it? And it's 1,000 pages long, which,
wow,
I hadn't realized. Yeah, and she flew through it, and I was kind of asking her every now and then, and she was just as captivated by it as I was. Wow. So I love that.
I slightly controversially think that sometimes we protect our kids from things a bit too much. I think you aren't traumatized from mm-hmm. it at the age of 13, and instead it sparked all kinds of imagination in you. But I think what you're saying there, Shane, is perfectly reasonable, and lots of parents would think the exact same.
Well, look, I was traumatized by The Fox and the Hound. So, I mean, that ending, it still cuts me up every time. So, I mean,
I don't know what to say. Although, weirdly, I'm not surprised.
It's interesting, though, that your daughter loved it, because I had a book, that trilogy, the Irish trilogy, Walter Macken trilogy, and I loved them growing up. And I read them with one of my kids when he got to 12 or 13, and he didn't really enjoy it. And I suppose maybe it was kind of an old style writing or whatever, maybe. But
was that hugely disappointing?
Like a little bit, but
because sharing, you know, because you almost want him to tap into young you there,
yeah,
and relate and all of that.
I know, a little bit, but look. They're not into it.
Yeah,
you know,
and so. I think I remember once being in Dubray in Black Rock, my local bookshop, and I was looking in the kids' section and I was like, do you have any Enid Blyton? My kids were very small. And the lovely bookseller there, she was so nice. She was like, we do, but we also have lots of more recently written kids' books that are fantastic. And I think there's a lot of that, parents going in trying to reclaim our childhoods,
yeah,
and live vicariously through our
and
kids
share
reading of the book.
Like I would have given all of my kids The Faraway Tree, because I loved Enid Blyton, that book, as a kid, and I would have read it over and over and over again. And yeah, they thought it was good, but it was like, it was ancient as far as they like, it was like,
but not Stephen King. He obviously stands the test of
just
time.
Just timeless, yeah.
Your last read book?
I just finished a book called Unreliable Narrator by Araminta Hall. So she's a UK author, and I was doing an event with her in Brighton last week. So I was sent the book, and I had read another of hers called One of the Good Guys. So I knew I liked her way of writing. So she writes kind of, I suppose they're suspense mystery thrillers, but they're really social commentary, and it's very well done. She's great voice, great style of writing. This is a book about a woman called Hope, who's, I think she's about 22, and she goes to work in this big country house as a secretary to a writer. And they're the writer and the writer's wife. They're this very bohemian, arty, wealthy couple who are, you know, on the surface living this amazing life, but of course then you scratch the surface and there's a bit of murder and there's a lot of what's going on here.
Smidgen of murder.
And she's, you can read her journal that she wrote when she's 22, and you're also seeing her 15 years later, and her world has fallen apart because things that have happened back then, but she starts to realise
some of those themes are in Such a Nice Girl as well, aren't they? The kind of the ostensibly fabulous life, and then you scratch the surface and everything just goes bonkers. Like that's a really interesting thing to delve into, the stuff that looks superficially good and perfect and well-to-do and nice. And then perhaps underneath isn't.
And I suppose it's a little bit because those are the kind of books I like to read, so I suppose that's why I like to write them as well. And like most of us, thankfully, don't live in areas where there's like, you know, gunfights every night, and you know that, like, we're not living in the mean streets of some, I don't know, I'm going to say a city like LA, and then someone from LA will hear this and be cross with me, but
no, I think it's,
you know,
nice.
What I mean,
yeah, you know.
And so what, you know, most of us are living in kind of typical suburban neighborhoods which all look very manicured and pretty on the surface, so I do love to think about what might be happening
behind the curtains.
Yeah exactly.
And I mean, I'm curious about like that, the style of books you write, because you're a very normal, stable person. What was
Am
it?
Am I though?
Yeah. I knew you were.
Chilling. Chilling.
Whoa, now I'm really scared. But what was it about you know, crime and that attracted you?
Well, I always read crime growing up, for sure. Like, whether it was Jeffrey Deaver and serial killers and James Patterson or Agatha Christie, it was always detective fiction or police procedural. Patricia Cornwell as well, when I was in college. Loved those books. And then I read a book by Ruth Rendell, but writing as Barbara Vine, and she wrote lots of books, but one of them I read was The Chimney Sweeper's Boy, and there was no detectives, no police. It was this family where the dad had died, and in trying to write his obituary, they started to find out all these things about him that they never knew. And it was a real peeling of the onion. Okay. And it was just this multi-layered story about a family. And I was like, wow. So you can have crime fiction where there are no police and detectives and it's just ordinary families. And I think that's what did it. So that's what I sought out to read a lot from then on, but still reading the other kinds as well. And then when I turned to writing, that was without even thinking about it, that's where I was going to go.
Okay. Yeah. Am I right in thinking that particularly Irish female writers, but female writers are having kind of a moment that just, if you look at the bestseller list in any country, it's wedged with women now and not doing just, I don't even mean to say just, because that sounds like in some way I'm diminishing, but not doing the traditional story of relationships or whatever. It is suspense, it is crime, it is mystery, it is thrillers, it's all of that, and doing it really bloody well and being massively successful.
Yeah, it's a good time to be a crime writer. And you're right, it's the women who are filling the charts. And I think a lot of it is, there's a big popularity for suspense fiction. Mm. And I think so much of it comes from the thinking, the analysing, the overthinking of the dangers that are in the world. So it's not the kind of shoot 'em up books, and it's not the thing I was talking about there, the car chases or the machine guns. It's the danger that is in your own house or the danger that is on your doorstep.
When you say that, I can feel myself getting again chilled.
Yes, absolutely.
Frightening. Honourable mentions?
So I don't know how many I'm allowed to pick, but I would say I loved The Death of Us by Abigail Dean. It was probably my favourite book of last year. And again, it's, I suppose, crime with social commentary. It's kind of like a transplanted version of the Golden State Killer story, but from the point of view of a couple who are attacked by him and the aftermath for them. And it's just the most wonderfully written book. It's absolutely brilliant. And another that I love is Demon Copperhead by Barbara Kingsolver, which is like a modern day retelling of David Copperfield, but set in the Appalachian region that she's from. And again, an amazing story that just brings you up and down. Wow. Happy, sad, happy, sad.
I've heard of this one. I haven't read it, but I've heard of this one.
You get to the depths of despair and then she lifts you back up so you can keep going. So it's not bleak, even if it has emotional depth and makes you cry. And then my last one is Margot's Got Money Troubles by Ruffy Thorpe, which I recently read and absolutely adored.
What next for you, Andrea?
I need to work on my edits for next year's book because it's due out this time next year and it needs a bit of work. But
is it very confusing when one book is coming out now but you're already moving on to the next book? So does your head get kind of fractured that you're living in different realities?
You can kind of compartmentalize. So like right now, because Such a Nice Girl has only just come out, that is pretty much everything. But tomorrow morning now, I do need to sit at my desk and get back to next year's book. But it only it kind of takes a minute and then you get back into it. What's really hard is if someone DMs you on Instagram and says, I have a question about whatever book, All Her Fault, which is from 5 years ago. And they'll say, character such and such, a very minor character. Why did they do? And you're like, oh my God, I have absolutely no idea.
I don't even know who that was.
Only do maybe 3 books at a time. And then
okay, that's all you can carry. Look, listen, going from strength to strength, I can only imagine getting the call to say, oh yeah, by the way, this is going on the telly and all that, but just phenomenal and well done to you and well deserved. And I am going to be reading Such a Nice Girl on my holidays in about 2 weeks' time. Andrea Maher, thank you so much for coming into the bookshelf.
Thank you.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman. With Kia. Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.